Certainly glad to see everybody out this morning. Got a good crowd, and we're here to worship God in spirit and truth. And I'm going to echo Brother Chad's words on Maddie, and just so proud of her and the decision that she has made to follow after Jesus. And we're so glad to add her as a sister in Christ. I know how proud the parents must be, but also how proud God must be. So we're very thankful for that.
Amen.
Passing the torch, and how fitting this morning as we had Chad passing the torch on over to Titus this morning. But it kind of went right along with my lesson this morning. In 2004, the Summer Olympic Games were in Athens, Greece, and the American women's 4x100 relay race, they were favored to win the gold medal. And the team featured Marion Jones. She was a sprinter who had won 4 gold medals at a previous game in Sydney. The American team, they were already off. They were to a strong start when Jones took the baton for the second leg of the race. She gained she gained ground as she ran 100 meters. She approached Lauren Williams, a young speeder who was going to run the third leg. And Williams, she begins running as Jones begins drawing near. But when she reached back to receive the baton, she couldn't complete the handoff. Once, twice, 3 times, Jones is thrusting the baton forward. And she finally gets it. But when she gets it, she's already crossed the 20-yard exchange zone, and they're disqualified. Everyone knew the American women were the fastest team. The night before, they had the fastest qualifying time. But when they couldn't complete the handoff, the race was over. As important as it is for the previous generation to set pace by living faithfully, at some point, at a certain point, a handoff must be made in which the next generation is going to receive that baton of faith and is going to begin to run with it. And that's what I want us to look at tonight as we look in Psalms chapter 78. If you turn to Psalm 78, that's going to be some of our passages this morning. I have it on the board as well, but if you want to turn in your book, that's fine as well. In Psalm 78, we find the psalmist here directing the attention of one generation to another concerning passing the torch, teaching the younger generation. And so as we listen to the psalmist, as he reminds Israel of the importance of God's goodness and their responsibility to keep alive the knowledge and the obedience to the Lord by passing the torch to the next generation. So we see here, and we look, and we see in Psalm 78, starting in verse 1, he says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard." What I'm going to say, you've heard it, and you've known it, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. We see here in verses 1 and 2 where He says, give ear, incline your ears. What is He saying? You ever told your kids to listen to you? Listen to me. Does that mean I just want you to hear me? Or does it mean that I want you to obey me? Here I know that we want to go, he's wanting them to go more, not just listen, not just to hear what he's saying, but you're going to listen. You're going to listen to what I'm saying, and you're going to follow through with what I'm saying. Well, what else is he saying? What else is he saying to them here? He says, and starting in verse 5, he says, "For he established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel when he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments." What am I going to do? We're going to tell here. We want you to listen. I'm going to tell you what I've told the fathers. Don't you hide those things that the fathers know. Don't you hide that from your kids. I want you to know about God. I want you to know about His strength. I want you to know about the works that He's done. Look what He's done. I want you to tell it to the generations. I want you to tell them to the children that's going to be born. I want you to tell them to the children that are going to arise and that you don't declare them to their children. Why? That they may set their hope in whom? That they may set their hope in God. That they will not forget the works of God. That they may keep His commandments. As we see here, as we go back here to verse 4, it says, it's our duty as parents. It's our duty as parents and upcoming parents to pass the torch to our children. Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says, to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's our responsibility as a church. It's our responsibility as a church to teach the younger ones. You turn it over to Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading from the NIV. Titus chapter 2. I want to read that entire chapter because I think it's got some real, what he's teaching the younger. Well, listen to what he says for us to do. Starting in verse 1, you, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith, and in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, he says to do what? Encourage the young men. What are we going to encourage the young men to do? To be self-controlled. In everything, he says, set them an example about doing what is good. In your teaching, he said, you show integrity. You show seriousness. You show soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Teach the slaves, he says, to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, not to steal from them, not to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us what? It teaches us to say no. It teaches us to say no to what? It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. It teaches us to live self-controlled. It teaches us to live upright in godly lives in the present age. While we wait for what? While we wait for a blessed hope. The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, a people that are what? Eager to do what is good. Then, it says, these then are the things you should teach. You encourage. You rebuke with all authority. You do not let anyone despise you. We must not keep what we know concerning our faith, concerning our salvation, from our kids. We must make it known to them. In Psalm 78, verse 4, we will not hide them from their children. We cannot hide the truth from our children. We have to be able to be willing to share with them. You know, and when we look to the scriptures about teaching others and what we're told to do, we are commanded to teach. We can go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. When he says, and now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you may what? You might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. When they went They were going to have to teach the things. They were commanded to teach those things. Why were they commanded to teach those things? That they may fear the Lord your God. They may keep all His statutes, all His commandments, which I command you, that command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. He says, hear therefore, O Israel, observe to do it. Listen, he says, listen, not just, and do it. Listen and do it. Teach. That it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that flows with milk and honey. You teach. They were commanded to teach. And how were they commanded to teach? They were commanded to do it diligently. When you look in verse 7. He says in verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is, He's one Lord. And you're going to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart. You're going to love Him with all your heart. And you're going to keep those things that I commanded in your heart. What are you going to do with those things that are in your heart? Thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children. And you shall talk of them. When are you going to talk about these things? When do we have time in this busy world to talk to our kids about the things that God wants us to do? He says here, you shall talk to them when you're sitting in your house. You're going to talk to them when you're walking by the way. You're going to talk to them when you're lying down. You're going to talk to them when you're rising up. I've got to reflect on myself and how much I talk about the commandments of God. How much I talk about the gospel of Christ. How much I talk about living righteously with my kids. I have to take an account of that. You have to take an account of that. When I think about that, I realize what a serious job that I have as a parent. I realize what a serious job I have as a child of God. I realize what a serious job I have as a preacher and a teacher of the gospel. So what am I doing here? He says, goes on in verse 8 and 9. What are you going to do with them? He says, you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. This teachings that we have, it should be right there in front of us. And they shall write them upon the post of your house, on your gates. Though we should be talking about it. It should be everywhere. As we're talking about it, in this word right here, we should be anytime sharing it wherever we are. We know in Ephesians 6, verse 4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them how? Bring them up how? In the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Am I doing this as a parent? Do I tell my kids about what it was like when I became a Christian? Do I talk to my kids about struggles I have as a child of God and how I overcome those struggles by relying on His help? Do I have those conversations? Not just words, but actions. Actions that match what I'm telling my kids. I'm going to suggest that there are two things that we need to pass on. One of those is the works of God. And when I say about the works of God, we're going to talk about what God has done. When I think about as the Lord was preparing Moses for the 10th plague, this is what He told them in Exodus chapter 13. He said, remember this day. Remember this day. He goes on in verse 8 and He says, you shall show your son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And that shall be a sign unto thee upon thy hand and for a memorial between your eyes, and that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. What's He telling them? You remember this day, and when you go forth from out of this, and you leave Egypt, and you are in your land that I've promised you, and you make it to that land, you're going to remember the mighty hand of God. You're going to remember, and you're going to talk about men and women who were mighty men and women that God used. You're going to talk about those individuals. You're going to tell about those individuals. You're going to talk about what God has done. Do we? Do we talk about what God has done? And not with just the folks in this room, Did we talk about what God has done when we leave this building? We have to share His impact on our life with our kids and with those outside of Christ. Are we doing that? In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9, he says, "Only take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget those things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." You see, there's a little repetition here. How are you not going to forget it? Because you're going to teach it. You're going to share it. Do I do this enough? I can tell you I don't. What do I pass along to my kids? Am I sharing what the works that God has done? The marvelous works and the many works that we do. Am I sharing that? Whose responsibility is it to teach my kids? Is it the church's responsibility? Is it me as a parent's responsibility? Why would I keep the works of God from my child? Why would I do that? What about the second thing I suggest that you pass on? Is that the Word of God. Not only what He's done, but also what He said. When I think about what He said, and I could think about what Peter said about, and what He said, and He said, Simon Peter's answered, and He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Who are we going to go to, Lord?" He said, "You have the words of eternal life." Why would I keep the words of eternal life from a child? Why would I keep them from any child of God? He said, "We have believed and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Those words that were written, these we can look at the Old Testament, we can turn back and forth. Romans 15, verse 4, he says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the patient, through the comfort of the Scriptures," what should we have? We should have hope. We don't keep hope from others. We're here because we love the hope that we have. Why would we not give that hope to somebody else? We can look at these Scriptures and we can turn to these Scriptures and we can turn to 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 when he says, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God." It's God-breathed. It's His words. It's profitable. It's good for us, isn't it? "For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." It's good for us. And if it's good for people who are in God's family, it's even better for those who are outside of the family. To whom am I going to pass this torch? Are we going to get out? Are we going to keep running and we're not going to grab a hold of the baton and it's going to be too late and the stick is dropped and we can't get and it's too late? Are we going to get too far away from them? Because if we think about, "I'm going to pass the torch to my kids," and we want to, that's short-term vision. And we have to have long-term vision. When we go to Psalm 78 and verse 6, he said, "The generation to come might know them." The current generation will know them. "Even the children which should be born will know them, who arise and declare to them, to their children." I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to talk, and we want to pass on to my children's children and to my children's children's children. We want the cycle to keep going. When we're thinking about passing on the Word of God, just like they did, they taught their children. They taught their children's children. And we have got to do that. We have many opportunities. And you've come here this morning. That's one opportunity. You'll bring your kids back tonight, and that's a second opportunity. You'll bring yourself back tonight, and that's a second opportunity. You'll come back Wednesday night. That's a third opportunity this week. But then, as I already mentioned before, we have another wonderful opportunity that the elders have given us. Vacation Bible School. It's an exciting time, but it's a great time, and it's a great opportunity for us to invite folks that may not have heard the gospel. It's a great opportunity and a great starting point for us to have a conversation with someone who needs to be reached, who might not otherwise have an opportunity. So I think about the results then of passing the torch. So the results, if we do it right. You know, in passing the torch itself, or passing the baton, it sounds like it should be easy. It sounds like, I mean, you just, here, take it, you know, and go. An athlete compared the challenge of the baton exchange to two ships passing in the night, but if the ocean were the size of a phone book. I had to think about that one. Very difficult. Maybe I'm not confident enough in my knowledge of the Bible. Maybe I'm too busy with work or school or problems that I have. Maybe I don't feel it's my place. Let's just let them choose what they want. The torch will be dropped if that's the attitude. So what are the results if I pass on the torch like I should? Well, Psalm 78, verse 7, what did he say? He said that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but they will keep his commandments. What are the results? And then in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, he says, "When I called," this was a time when the torch was done correctly. "He called to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, that dwells first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I persuaded that it's in thee also." But we also have results like this picture if the baton is dropped. And where they would be trusting in God, they trust in self. They trust in the world. There's no spiritual growth. They're disobedient to God's commands. They reject him. Continually making mistakes. And when the baton is not passed, when we don't pass the baton, Judges 2, verse 10 is what happens. "And also all the generation were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them that didn't know who, that did not know God, that did not know the works that he had done for Israel." That's the other option that we have. You know, and it may be that we realize that the church, and we do realize that the church is just a generation away, one generation away from extinction. We have to be busy passing the torch. We have to be busy sharing the gospel. You know, and unlike Olympics, when sometimes we do drop a baton in our life, they are disqualified. We make mistakes. We can pick it up again. And it may be that we have to start again. It may be that the race before us, that it isn't finished. We have to realize that. We have to realize that the prize is far greater than an Olympic gold medal, and that the prize is eternal life, and I have to keep striving. It may be that when you think about your kids, that you may have done everything in your willpower. You might have done everything that you possibly could, even with mistakes that we might have made, and passing the torch. It may be that the child just willfully dropped it. It wasn't your choice. It might have been it's their choice. Do we stop? No, we keep running. We keep running with patience because the prize is before us. We keep extending the baton. You know, we may, even though they may be disqualified at 20 yards away, we keep passing the baton until their breath leaves them. We don't give up on them. We keep praying. We keep trusting in God. And we keep being the example that they need. Children learn faith from people who practice faith. We can't expect to lead your child any higher in the Christian faith than you're willing to go yourself. So what do we have to do? We put God first. We demonstrate this to our children. We demonstrate what it means to trust in God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. We are a model. We are an example for them. Passing the torch is something that we've got to do. This morning, it may be that you're a child of God. It may be that you've fallen short. May it be that you've fallen short, that you need to confess your faults. Come forward. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. And if you aren't a child of God, here is water, what's hindering you from being baptized. Just as Maddie did this past week, when she realized that she was in sin, that she needed a Savior, she came to the one who forgives all. She came to the one who adds. I want you to do that this morning as we stand, as we sing the invitation song.